Well, we're on day four, and we haven't caught the big one yet. Our guide brought us to this spot. It's a local area that all the people know. A lot of tournaments have been won out here. It's right along the dam. There's a deep fall off. He told us to throw a blueback chartreuse belly DD22. And, you know, whenever you're going after the big things, you have to have a guide. And we know the Bible says the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I hope that while we go through this series, we can talk about the word being our guide and how he can lead us to capture the big things in life. Let's see how it goes.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if I caught the trophy bass on that particular cast, right? I mean, that would have been perfect, made for TV moment. I was like, God, what's up here? And so today we're going to be talking about the guide. For those of you that are guests with us today and haven't been here for the whole series, four of us set on the journey of a lifetime down to Lake Falcon. It's a border lake between Mexico and Texas, in search of a trophy bass. And the last 5 weeks have been sermons or principles that we learned in this process. Today I want to talk in particular about the guide. And I want you to think in your life right now, as you're chasing after your dreams, your aspirations, your goals, do you have a guide? What is guiding you? And what you're going to find real quick, as we're talking about this morning, Psalm 119, verse 105. Let's put that up on the screen. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, the first thing that, as we were approaching this passage this week, I was like, "What? Okay, let's dig a little deeper. I've always known this, but I've always just thought, yeah, God, I mean, your word, I mean, the Bible, that's the light." But I was thinking, why do you need a light, right? I mean, there's an obvious reason why you need light. Does anybody know why you need light? To see. And why do you need to see? Because there's darkness. You see, you don't need a light when there's light, right? You only need a light when there's darkness. And the natural state of man, apart from God, apart from his word, is the state of darkness. Now, if you have any darkness in your life this morning, I'm going to tell you right now that the first point in this morning's message is that there is darkness that separates your location from your destination. And there are varying types of darkness, but all darkness is the absence of the word of God being manifest in your life. So when you refuse the principles, the precepts of the word of God, then darkness will surround you. So this morning I hope that I can share with you what that darkness looks like and then how to get out of it, because you have to have light to see the path. So God has given us a path, but we have to have light to be able to see it. So the first thing I want us to notice about this darkness is that it comes in different forms. And one of the darkness forms that we'll talk about this morning is the darkness of frustration. Has anybody ever felt like this guy right here? Anybody, by show of hands? I mean, anybody this week have a moment like this where you just kind of go outside and you lean your head against the wall and you're like, "Dear Lord, take me now." And so there's a darkness associated with frustration. In the Bible, we see that this happens on several occasions. And you know, Moses was leading the people of God, and yet he was frustrated. Now, I'm glad that I pastor Genesis Metro, because there's only perfect people in here, and you guys don't sin at all like the people of Israel did. So it is just constant bliss, and there is never any frustration in leading a church like this. And so the only reason why I'm preaching this is because someday you might go to some other church, and you're going to need to know that your leader needs you to be obedient, because if you're not, then sometimes they might grow frustrated. And so here was Moses out leading the people of Israel. They've crossed the Red Sea. Now they're in the wilderness, and they're going to be there 40 years because of the lack of faith of the people. And so Moses is leading the people, and they come to this moment where the people are starting to panic again, all right? And they're starting to think that God's not going to be able to lead them through everything. And they're like, "We're thirsty, we're going to die." And Moses has just had it. And I don't know, in your marriage, if you can relate to this, or with your parenting, if you can relate to this, or like some kind of, you know, job or sport or or school. Sometimes school's a little frustrating, right? I mean, does anybody ever get, yeah, okay. So frustrated, okay? So you're frustrated. And God says, I want you to speak to the rock, Moses. Speak to it, and water will come forth. But Moses was frustrated. And in his frustration, he did not allow the word that God had just spoke to him. He said, speak to it. But Moses was frustrated. And what do we do when we're frustrated? We hit things, right? And Moses, being a man, he took his staff and he's like, waka! He hit the rock. Now, water came out of it, but God said, Moses, because you walked in darkness instead of light, you're going to stay in your location and you're never going to reach your destination. You see, there's a darkness associated with frustration. Here's a weird thing. For those of you that are task-oriented in here, that you're achievers, okay? Raise your hands if you know who you are, okay? You like to get things done, right? Whenever things aren't getting done, what do you get? Frustrated. Now, here's the crazy thing. We're frustrated, and as a Christian, we would think, run to the light, right? Run to the light, figure out a principle of the Word of God that we're not applying, apply it to the situation, then you'll get from frustration to your destination and get through the darkness. But most of us that are achievers, whenever you're frustrated, instead of looking upward, you look inward, and then you remain in that location. How long have you been frustrated this morning? Has it been a week? Has it been a month? Has it been years? Has it been a decade? How much longer do you want to stay in the darkness of frustration? We need God's word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path if we're going to get through the darkness of frustration. How about the darkness of hesitation? Has anybody in here, are you like one of those people that like to dip your toe in the water before you jump? There's a difference between the dip the toe kind of person and the cannonball guy, right? Has anybody, you've ever seen the cannonball guy, right? I mean, cannonball! I mean, you just run out there, you just go for it, right? You don't see what the temperature of the water is. But some of us in here, we have the darkness of hesitation. In other words, God is leading us out into something, but we're hesitant to go cannonball for God. And so this morning, I want you to know there's a darkness associated with that will keep you from getting to what God is trying to get you to, because you lack faith, because you lack the ability to believe. In one particular story in the Bible, Paul was preaching and he was just laying it down, man. He was sharing the gospel, how that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. I mean, he was preaching how you can have redemption, you can have salvation, you can have the forgiveness of sin, eternal life. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And there was a king that was listening to him, a king named Agrippa. And after Paul completed his message, the king said to the common man, almost, Paul, almost you are persuading me to become a Christian, but I'll hear you at a more convenient time. Now I want you to wrap your mind around this. Eternity is in the balance, heaven and hell, where you will spend forever and ever and ever. And the word went out. It was there. The light was right. It was shining down on the path. And Agrippa, his heart was pulled toward it. But yet there was that darkness of hesitation. And because he embraced the darkness instead of the light, he never got to his destination. I want you to think about that for a moment. How many times has God drawn you to something? Whether it be to himself for salvation, and you said at another time. Well, let me get this in order, God, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about salvation. Doesn't it seem odd to even bargain about where you're going to spend eternity? I mean, are you with me this morning? I mean, shouldn't we just get that nailed down now, that we should just trust in Jesus for our salvation? You don't want to take a chance on tomorrow when it comes to salvation. But beyond that, how many of us, God is drawing us to things and he's saying, trust me, and we're hesitant. We're saying, God, okay, well, let me get to a more convenient season and then I will trust you. I'm going to tell you, if you won't trust him now, you won't trust him tomorrow. You have to get to the point that you're past. You allow his light to shine on your darkness and get you from hesitation to trust. And the last type of darkness I want to talk about this morning is the darkness of self-exaltation. You know, this is probably the most dangerous darkness. Because if you ever mistake your success for your ability And then you take what God has given you, what he put in you, what he surrounded you with, and you mistake that for you, that you did that, that's yours. Then all of a sudden, your mentality is that I need to erect a monument to myself. And Saul, the first king of Israel, did that exact thing. Now here's the crazy evolution of Saul. When he was crowned, the Bible says that he thought he was small. He was small in his own sight. Now even though he stood head and shoulders above everyone else, he entered into the role of king with humility. And he thought he was small. But then he had a couple of victories, and the Bible says he erected a statue of himself after one of his victories, and he didn't even do it the way that God told him to do it. And as a result of his pride and as a result of his disobedience, God said, the kingdom that I desired to be yours has now been stripped from you. He said, Saul, I desired for your lineage to reign forever in Israel, but as a result of you walking in darkness, the darkness of self-exaltation, that which could have been yours has been taken from you. Do you think that we ever take the position that God has given us, the blessings that God has given us, and instead of being a reflector of the glory of God, we consume it upon ourselves, and we even like build these statues to ourselves? I mean, do you guys know anybody if they could build a statue of themselves and give it to the office for the Christmas party, that's what they would do? Here's a little statue of myself. Have a good one. Let others praise you instead of praising yourself. I mean, parents, if I could tell you one attribute to pass on to your children is the attribute of humility. I know we want to build our children up and give them confidence. But understand, shouldn't we point them toward giving God glory instead of receiving that glory into themselves? Be careful about passing on the trait of self-exaltation, because that is a dangerous darkness that will defeat you from moving from your location to your destination this morning. You see, whenever it comes to this whole concept of the light, whenever without the light, several things kind of enter into play. He says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Well, that tells me that without God's word as a light, as a lamp unto my feet, that I'm going to be stumbling through life. Without the word of God, you are going to find yourself stumbling and fumbling through life. But does this ever characterize you? Do you ever feel like you are kind of just stumbling, tripping, but life isn't going smoothly? It doesn't seem like it has purpose and direction. You're just kind of stumbling through it. Like in your marriage, you're kind of stumbling from one section or season to the next. Or maybe when it comes to your parenting or when it comes to your career, you just feel like you're just stumbling all around and you never feel like you have surety in your steps. You never have confidence in your steps. Is it possible this morning that it's because you're without the word? That the reason why you keep tripping and falling on your face is because you're doing it your way, man. You're not trusting in God. You're even trusting what other people say above what God says. Well, I know what God's word says, but this is what I think. I mean, how many times are you going to stumble before you realize that you need God's word to be a lamp unto your feet? Without God's word, not only will you be stumbling, you're also lost. You know, an interesting phenomenon, they've done research on this, they've taken people out and they blindfolded them and said, just go straight, wherever you're pointing, just go straight. And inevitably what people will do is they'll begin turning and they'll begin making a big circle. Whenever they're blindfolded, it's impossible for us to walk a straight line whenever we have blindfolds on. Now think about that for a moment. How many of us are walking without the light of the Word of God in our lives, and as a result, all you're doing is making circles, man? I mean, how many times are you going to circle in your marriage the same fight that you've been fighting? The same parenting issue, the same financial issue, the same, character issue at work. I mean, if you move from job to job and the same issue arises with a whole separate group of people, Is it possible? Is it possible this morning that maybe it's not the people, or people move from marriage to the next marriage and they have the same issues? What changed in the relationship? The person changed, but your problem didn't change. What is the consistent factor in this? Let's see here. It's you. It's you. The reason why you keep on dealing with the same issues with all your friends, with all your relationships, with your relatives, with your job, is because it's you. It's not someone else. It's you. Trust me this morning. If you're 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, it's you, okay? You've had enough time, enough study, enough data to come to this conclusion. And so we're just going to shine the light on it this morning. It's you, all right? Someone just look at your spouse and actually say, it's you, okay? Don't do that, all right? Man, we are circles. We make circles all the time in our relationships with others. It's all because we won't let light into our darkness. Not only without the word will you be lost, you'll be in the dark. Now think about this for a moment. I bet all of us can go back to a time where you were in some darkness, right? Like someone, you play hide go seek and you got off by yourself and you're like waiting and then it got uncomfortable, right? Like when nobody's coming to find you after a while, you're like, oh no, they've left me. Everybody can think of a time where you were in darkness and it got uncomfortable, right? Because if you're in darkness for very long, you start hearing things, right? And you start seeing things, even though you can't see, you're seeing something, right? You're like, I know I saw something. And there's a level of darkness that's uncomfortable. This morning, I want you to know that if you are without the word of God, you lack vision when you're in the darkness. Not only do you lack physical sight, but you lack spiritual sight. And whenever you're trying to lead a company, lead a marriage, lead a family, lead your friends, lead a team, whatever it may be, the leader always has to have vision. The Bible says the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If you're ever going to lead, people will not follow you if you don't have a vision. And you can't have vision, according to this verse, without the word in your life. Oh, this morning, is it possible we need to recalibrate our priorities and the input that we're allowing into our lives, and maybe, just maybe, say that the word should be the final authority in which way we're going to choose. The last point in this first main point is flip the switch. You know, Jesus, when he walked on the scene and he was teaching one day, he said this in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I mean, when somebody is alive for Jesus, would you say that they are different than the people around them? I'm going to tell you, when you have the light of life residing inside of you, you can tell a difference in them. Whenever the word says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, I want you to know that you got to flip the switch if you're going to see the path. But understand this, the path is there. Whether or not you can see it or not is up to you, but the path is already there. But the light illuminates the path that already exists. So if you stay in darkness, it wasn't because God didn't have a path to get you to the other side. It's because you refused to flip the switch. This morning, I want you to know how awesome God's light is. In Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12, the psalmist is kind of having a little bit of a pity party. And sometimes when you read the psalm, you kind of get this. And the psalmist says, you know what? Sometimes I just want to get away from God. Has anybody ever felt like that? Like, you know, God disappoints you and you're just like, well, you know what, God? I'm just going to go do this on my own for a little while. Or I'm just going to go over here and lay in my bed and pull my covers over my head and just have a little pity party for myself. All right? From time to time, we think like that. And the psalmist says this. He says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. So he's going to lay in his bed and pull the cover of darkness over him. And the light about me be night. He said, I just want to go into... Has anybody ever... I know I'm not talking to myself up here. You ever want to just climb in a dark hole? I mean, you just want to shrivel up and just everybody to leave you alone. We want to shove the world away. And it's just this thing that we do. Isolationism. It's an awful thing whenever people begin isolating themselves. But this is what he says. Even... God, if I try to pull darkness over me like covers, he says, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. This morning, if you have the light of life residing in you, even if you tried to cover it with the darkest of night, darkness is as light to him. The night is like day before his presence. So this morning, if you are in darkness and he has offered you the light of life, what is going on? We must conclude that darkness is a choice. If we don't have vision this morning, it's a choice. If we can't see the path to the other side, it's a choice. This morning, God wants to move you from point A to point B. There's darkness in between your location and your destination, and the only way you're going to get to the other side is to embrace the light of the world. And man, when you embrace that light, I'm telling you, you'll see things that you would have never seen before. You'll see paths that you didn't think existed. And that leads us to point number two in our sermon this morning. You need light to see the path. And secondly, you need obedience to obtain the provision. You need obedience to obtain God's provision for your life. There's a problem that we all suffer with called bias. I got my little fishing pole here. And I didn't want to put the lure that I caught the fish on up there because it has six treble hooks and I might hook somebody in the face. I'm not going to throw it out in the audience. Whoa, where did that go? Did that hit anybody? Did it go all the way back there? We're just going to set this down now because I just almost killed someone. We're going to blame that on Hollis. Did that really hit that wall back there? That's crazy. I'm sorry, Beverly almost took your head off. So we're going to move right on from that. Back to bias. I was going to show you this neat finesse worm or Cinco worm that I had on there. But anyway, you see the lure that's on the screen right there? This lure is a chartreuse blueback, and that's the one I was talking about in the opening video. And I want to tell you something about this lure. I would never personally throw this lure. And there's a reason why, because I'm biased. If someone told me to go out and throw a crankbait, I would throw a white crankbait. Do you know why I would throw a white crankbait? Does anybody know why? Because I've caught a fish on a white crankbait before. So if someone tells me to throw this particular type of lure, I'm going to throw the one that I've caught fish on. I would never throw this one. Why? Because I don't like this one. You know why I don't like this one? Because I've never caught a fish on this color. So when we went down there, the guide handed me this bait and said, this is the one you need to throw. Now here's the thing. If you don't have faith that the guide knows more than you, then you'll never get to the big things in life. You'll never catch the big thing. You'll never make it to the provision that he has for you if you won't listen to his advice. You see, all of us suffer from this bias, and whenever God says, I want you to go and do this thing, our natural thought is, well, I've never done it like that before, God. I mean, this is what I know works. This is what I'd like to do. This is how I would like to do it. Now, isn't it crazy that we have this, like, bargaining negotiation with God? Because we would all readily say, right, that God knows more than us, right? Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Shout your head. Wait, okay, does anybody in here think that you know more than God, okay? If you do, you need to humble yourself and repent, okay? Okay, so if you agree that God knows more than you, then why is it when you get in a situation and God's word is different than what you want, why is it that you naturally go to what you want instead of what God's word says? Because you're biased, okay? You could call it sin if you want to. And there's a great story that illustrates this in Matthew 17. There's this temple tax that they collected, and it was 2 drachmas. And it doesn't matter what that amount is, but it's a small amount. A drachma was a day's wage. And so in order to go in the temple and a sacrifice be offered for you, you had to pay the tax, and the tax paid for the supply of the sacrifices, the lambs, the goats, and whatnot. And so one day, some of the leaders from the temple came up to Peter, and he said, hey, does your master not pay his taxes? And Peter, always answering without asking, he's like, yes, my master pays his taxes. And then he goes over to Jesus, he's like, hey, are we going to pay our taxes? I love Peter, right? He's like, yes! I don't know. And so he goes over to Jesus and says, are we going to pay our taxes? And Jesus is like, well, whenever the king collects taxes, does he collect it from the sons or does he collect it from the others? He goes, well, I suppose he collects it from the others. He goes, that's right. He said, the sons are free. They don't have to pay their taxes, but others do. And Jesus kind of gave some spiritual lesson there. We're not going to go into that one today. He said, but I don't want to offend anybody, so yes, I'm going to pay my taxes. He said, Peter, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your pole that had a lure on it, and I want you to go down to the lake, and I want you to cast it out into the water, and you're going to catch one fish. And the first fish that you catch, you're going to reel it in, and you're going to open its mouth. And inside of its mouth is going to be a shekel. And that shekel is worth 4 drachmas. I want you to pay your taxes and mine. Now, wrap your mind around this. Peter went, grabbed his fishing pole, right? That had a lure on it. And he walks down to the lake. And you know, the whole way, he's got to be shaking his head a little bit because he's been fishing all of his life. This was his trade. And never, never in all the thousands of fish that he had caught had he ever opened one's mouth and a coin, money, was inside of it. So he's like shaking his head down to the lake, like, oh, well, I'll do this. He told me to do this. So he gets down there and he casts it out, right? And this line hits the water and he's reeling it in. Catches a fish. And he's like really fighting the fish. He gets the fish in. And now the moment of truth, right? He's going to catch this fish and then he's going to open its mouth. He opens the fish's mouth and what's inside? A coin, a shekel. Just like Jesus said there was going to be. Now check this out. Did God make a coin inside of a fish's mouth? No. The coin was already there. The fish had swallowed the coin. Jesus knew where the coin was. Who didn't know where the coin was? Peter didn't know where the coin was. So God already knew where it was, but you don't know where it is. But the guide will get you to the provision. But what is in the cards? What is in it for you? What choice do you have to make? You have to choose to obey. And now it's going to sound crazy sometimes. Cast? Nobody was thinking about, you know what, how are we going to pay our taxes today? I tell you what, go down to the lake. We're going to cast the hook out there. And our money is going to be in the fish. Nobody thought that. You see, whenever you're obedience leads to options. God options. Options that you never thought of before. Options that you in your own mind could not even conceive of. Peter was never thinking about fishing for money. And so all of a sudden, God provided in this incredible way. And this story is woven throughout the fabric of the Word of God. Whenever in the Old Testament, there was a time where this guy named Naaman was leprous, and he was from Syria, and he was this mighty soldier, and he came to Israel, and he came to the prophet of God, and he said, you know, I heard that you can work miracles. And the prophet looks at him and says, go bathe in the Jordan River, dip yourself 7 times, and you'll be healed. Now, that's what the guide said to do. Do you know what Naaman's first reaction was? That water is dirty. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Sochi Olympics water. I mean, but it's brown. That water in Russia is brown and people are flipping out about it. I mean, the Jordan River was the place where everybody bathed and where all the stuff ran. And Naaman was looking at the water. He's like, I'm not going to get in that water. If I wanted to get a bath, I could take a bath back in Syria. But I've come all this way and you're going to tell me to get in that river? He said, we're going home. And his servant stops him. He said, now look. Let's think about this. Let's not be hasty. He said, if he would have asked you to do some great thing, if he'd asked you to climb a Mount Everest, if he would have asked you to swim across the ocean, he says, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Naaman, soldier, type A, alpha male, yes. Of course I would have done it 3 times. You know, I mean, that was his reaction. He said, well, shouldn't you at least do this simple thing that he's asked you to do? Who knows what may happen? Naaman goes down to the Jordan River and he dips 7 times. And on the 7th time he comes out, he's healed. What if your healing was wrapped up in your obedience? And until you obey, what if you're never going to know your options because you never obeyed? Whenever you allow the word to become a lamp unto your feet, a light into your path, all of a sudden you're going to see And the guide is going to get you to the provision that you need for your situation. I'm telling you this morning that God is able to deliver in some crazy ways. Whenever we were crafting this sermon, this was Tuesday at our creative meeting, I got a phone call. And one of our members had a nephew that had been serving in Afghanistan. And he's off his deployment, and he wanted to come by and meet me and meet our staff. And I was like, yeah, tell him to come on by. So we were wrapping up our creative meeting. It was around 3:15 Tuesday afternoon, and in walks this soldier. And I asked him his story, and I'd heard a little bit about it, but he had found our podcast because of his aunt and uncle over in Afghanistan. They had told him about our church, and he had started listening to our podcast in the middle of the desert in Afghanistan. And when he ran out of podcasts, he requested that our videos be downloaded to a gig stick, and our tech director, Lee, shipped a gig stick over to Afghanistan so the guy could watch our sermons while he's in the middle of the desert. And he was asking the other soldiers to come around, and he was like, we're preaching in Afghanistan. And so here's the point. He told me that he believed that God sent him to Afghanistan so that he could hear the message from Genesis Metro, so that he could come back. He's getting ready to get married and be the husband that God had called him to be. That it took him going all the way over there to learn what God had for him. You see, he was being obedient. He was casting the line out into the water, and Genesis Metro was the fish. And when he reeled us in and he opened up our mouth, the word that he needed to get him through the darkness to the other side, to make him the man that God called him to be, was right there. But it took his obedience in the middle of the desert. This morning I want to ask you, are you willing to cast it out there? Are you willing to reel it in? Are you willing to open it up and believe that your provision is on the inside? Oh, this morning, if we could just get to that point of faith, God would change our lives forever. Would you guys stand with us as we prepare for a time of reflection?